name is the Reverend Lisa Mason, and I have the great honor of being the rector of St. John's Episcopal Church in Larchmont. I pray that you enjoy this time together. I'm inviting you to open your minds and hearts to whatever message God is sending you during this sermon.
If any want to become my followers, let them deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. This is one of those hard gospels. It would be so easy to decide to preach on the Hebrew scripture or even the second reading because it's hard. It requires sacrifice on our part. It requires intentionally giving and consecrating our life to Jesus to make a difference in our life and in the lives of others. Who teaches us? Who forms us to learn how to deny ourselves and follow Jesus? We live in a world that every day becomes more individualistic. We live in a world where every day we expect things to happen on our time frame. We get frustrated when the package arrives a day late. We get frustrated when we can't find what we need immediately. We have long been tempted to forget what it means to deny ourselves, pick up our cross, and follow Jesus. Can you imagine that day when this gospel occurs? Just before this passage, Peter identifies who Jesus is. Peter says, "You are the Messiah, my Lord, the one with whom we have, for whom we have been waiting for." And then right afterwards, Peter has already forgotten the message. And so Jesus starts to talk about his death. I don't blame him. Jesus starts to talk about his death. It's going to be grim. It's going to be horrific. He's going to literally pick up his cross, the cross that he will then be nailed to. So they don't want to hear that. These disciples have given up everything they have ever known to follow Jesus. They have watched him heal all those who have come into his reach. He has preached, he has taught, he has healed, he has forgiven, he has loved. But they're not ready to be without him. They're not ready to have this mission up to them. They cannot comprehend what that will look like. And so Peter, being Peter, so identify with Peter. No, you can't talk about being killed and leaving us. And I can imagine Peter's heart being crushed when Jesus refers to him as Satan. Now, for those disciples, their lives will literally be lost in the name of faith. They will all be crucified, martyred for their faith in the living God. So I ask you to think about in your life journey, who are the people that taught you to use the gifts that God has given you? Not to always get to do your own thing or do it your own way, but to sacrifice from your heart to care for the cries of the world. For me, it was my parents primary. My parents that openly talked about God, openly talked about what it means to be a beloved child of God. My parents who decided to raise me in the Episcopal Church. We went every Sunday, sat on the same pew, two pews behind Kirk and his family. And then the church. I am passionate about the church because I believe that we witness and walk alongside each other, learning what it means to deny ourselves, pick up our cross, and follow Jesus. I think about the clergy. I think about the choir and the choir director. I think about the Sunday school teachers. The Sunday school teachers that gave up Sunday after Sunday after Sunday to make sure we knew what the love of God, the unconditional love of God, looked like. I think about a woman named Ada McCormick who taught our children Sunday school for years and years and years. She even led the youth group when we were looking for a youth minister. She would often go to the 8 o'clock service so that she could worship and be filled and be fed. And then she would teach us, teach our children. When she got married again later in life, she moved to where her husband lived, which was an hour away. And so for her, denying herself and following Jesus meant to go out and get her commercial bus driver license so she could drive the kids in Victoria to youth events around the diocese. I think about the people who loved and formed our children. Shortly before we moved, Kirk's not going to believe I'm telling this story, but right shortly before we moved to San Antonio, we ran into some friends that we had grown up at the same church with, and we were out of town and our kids were at home. And the wife, Kathy, looked at me and said, I've got good news for y'all and I've got some bad news. Okay. Good news is Rand was at church today all by himself. Oh my gosh, that's great. That's our oldest son. She said, bad news is he was about 10 minutes late. He had put colored hair extensions on his hair, and he sauntered down the aisle to the very first row. And I said, I could have lived my whole life without knowing that. She said, but what you need to know is that we love him anyway. People that we worship with, people that we confess our sins with, people that we go up and be fed the body and blood of Jesus, help us learn how to trust in a God who calls us sometimes to the most ordinary things and sometimes in the most ludicrous, beyond our imagination ways, to go to a mission field that you've never been to before, to make friends with your new neighbor with whom you have very different ways of living, to reach out to the hungry, to help find shelter for the homeless, to clothe those who do not have clothes, to protect them in the weather. We're called to give of our time, which you all know well, to give of our time and use our gifts to feed, to love, to bear hope. I am passionate about the church because I would not be standing here without it. In case you haven't noticed, we're in a clean-out phase. Did y'all notice the ginormous dumpster out front? So I decided it was time to go through some files and probably shed some of those files that I lugged from San Antonio and shred them, and put them in the dumpster. And I came across the file of all of my paperwork and answers when I was getting ready to go to the discernment committee to find out if I was going to become a postulant to be ordained.
Thank you again for this time together. I pray that we always remember that we are part of a much bigger story, the story of God's love for God's people and the call for us to learn how to love God and learn how to love each and every other person we encounter with the kind of love that God has for us. And now for a blessing. Be present to today. Do not be anxious about what might happen tomorrow. The same God who cares for you today will care for you tomorrow. God will either shield you from suffering, or you will be given the unfailing strength to bear it. So be at peace then, and cast aside all anxious thoughts and imaginations. In the blessing of God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, be with you this day and remain with you forever. Amen.